weeks ago I was talking about fish. I didn't know it, but then Michael was talking about fish last week. We were just laughing with each other how sometimes the Holy Spirit leads both of us to the same verse, even though we bring out a different angle on it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit moves that way. The Bible says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything is confirmed. So perhaps the Holy Spirit might really want to bring a message to all of us here. So I'm going to pray that we would have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit might want to say to the church. Church is not a building. Church is the people. Anyone say amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to ask you to do something really radical. Just as you sit, put one hand on your heart and another hand on your head. You don't have to, if you're a visitor, we don't want to embarrass anyone. We pray now, Lord, that your word, the Bible, would speak to our minds and speak to our hearts. Lord, if we've got any ideas that are contrary to what you have for us, we pray in your own wonderful way, you would demolish our arguments. And we pray that your word would reign in our minds and hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. 2 weeks ago, I was saying how fishing and fishermen are the background music to the New Testament. Jesus Christ based his ministry right by the Sea of Galilee, up in a little town called Capernaum. And so much of the analogy and the symbolism, it was all about fish and fishing. So this is part two of that from 2 weeks ago. And you may remember, if you were there, we saw when Jesus was gathering the very first followers of what became the Christian church, which is, we're in part of that today. We're told as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he found the brothers, James and John, mending their nets. This type of detail in the Bible is not there by accident. It's there for a purpose. A purpose. And that was Matthew 4:21. And we saw 2 weeks ago how every knot in a fishing net is like a relationship in your life and my life. Mending knots is mending friendship. No fisherman will go fishing if his nets have holes or are torn. If the net isn't repaired, the catch is lost. And it's the same in our lives today. We will not succeed in life if our fishing net, that is your life and my life, is full of tears and holes. We need to have them repaired. Hallelujah. And so that's what we looked at 2 weeks ago. And an example of that was sometimes we have to forgive someone. Sometimes we have to address burnout in our lives or someone else's life. Maybe we need to seek reconciliation. And sometimes it's making time to simply rest and pray so that we can gather the strength to be the friend, to be the wife, the husband, the mother, the father, the son, the daughter, the brother, the sister that we are meant to be. So mending nets is a big thing. So today I'm looking very briefly at what I call the catch of the day. And we are going to look at a strange period in the Bible. It's after Jesus rose from the dead, but before he ascended into heaven. And we know elsewhere in the Bible that he appeared, Jesus Christ, the risen Saviour, to about 500 people. That was the total. There's nearly 500 people in this hall. That was the whole total of followers of Jesus back then. And he appeared to them. But one of the appearances he made is what we're going to look at in John 21. Michael touched on this last week. We saw how the disciples went fishing one night, and they were fishing all night long, but they got no fish. We live in a fishing village, Denise and I, and sometimes if the windows open in the bedroom in the summer, around 4 in the morning, you can hear chuck, 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 and you can hear the fishing boats going out in the dead of night. And fishermen like to fish at night a lot because you can catch more fish then. These guys went out and they caught nothing. Nada. Rien. Fioc, we say in Irish. They caught nothing. And so they're disheartened. Maybe you're a bit disheartened today. They're disheartened. They're weary. It's not kind of working out. And sometimes we come to church and we feel like that. But they hear a voice. They hear a voice calling from the shore. And they weren't prepared. And we're told, 5 and 6, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Cast your net on the other side of the boat. Then you will catch fish. I prophesy to someone here, you have had no fruit in your life because you are doing it at the wrong side of the boat. God is saying to someone here, I have a fruitful future for you, but where you've been fishing, where you've been putting your energy, maybe you've been studying something and you can't make it work, and God is saying, hear my voice. It's the other side of the boat I've called you to. So they hear this. And a lot of people would go, who do you think you are? But they didn't. Remember, Jesus wasn't a fisherman. He was just a carpenter. A carpenter telling a fisherman how to fish. But he's the Son of God. Hallelujah. When they obeyed what he said, they caught a multitude of fish. So because of the word of God speaking into their daily experience, directing them like he can direct you or direct me, they go from nothing to everything. They go from curse, if you will, to blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so they catch a multitude of fish, and Peter, we think Peter would have employed a whole bunch of men fishing. He was well respected in the fishing community there by Galilee, and he almost certainly would have owned a number of boats. So he was the guy who said, let's go fishing. So Peter straight away knew something was going on, because immediately Peter jumped out of the boat and swam ashore to Jesus on the beach. It's really important that we see the context here, brothers, sisters. Because Jesus was on the shore, Peter was going to him, but shortly before this, Peter had denied Jesus. Anyone know how many times?
Three times.
Three times. It was shocking. It was horrible. He said, I don't know who that Jesus is. And when the servant girl in that culture challenged him, he swore with curses and oaths, I never met that fella Jesus. And John puts it beautifully in his gospel. He says, Jesus just looked at him. And he said nothing. Just looked at him. Peter's heart was broken. And so, here we have Jesus again. And Peter is the first one. He leaves the boat and he dives in. You know what the Bible says? He who is forgiven much, loves much. Can we hear that? He or she who is forgiven much, loves much. Hallelujah. If you've known the forgiveness of God, and God's forgiveness is undeserved, that's called grace. That's the name of this church. It's all over the Bible. Undeserved favor. Peter knew God was doing something. Jesus was doing something in his life. So he dived in. You know what was going on here? Obedience brings blessing. Everyone getting baptized in a half an hour, you know what? God will bless you for your obedience. Yes. How about you give them a big round of applause to show them that God will bless them? It's not just baptism. When we obey God in our lives, the tendency is God will bless us. Yes, the devil will try and attack us. Yes, sometimes there's a trial. But overall, the blessing follows obedience. All through the Bible, we read how God said, obey my word. Why? That your life might go well. You want to succeed in life? You want your life to go well? Follow God's ways. Ere I pick and choose. I was talking to someone recently and they said, I see church like a menu at a restaurant. I like that bit and I don't like that. You know, all the best to you, but it doesn't work that way. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Doesn't work that way. Follow him with all your heart. Then you'll know blessing. Pick and choose like a consumer. You won't get that blessing. Obedience brings blessing. They obeyed what Jesus said and they were blessed with an abundant catch. And when the guys who were getting baptized today, and some of them had a really rough week, it's like the devil was trying to stop them. But he didn't succeed. Hallelujah. Obedience brings blessing. So there they were trying to fish all night and they caught nothing. What's that about? It's like the psalm says, unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is useless. The old King James says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. It's useless. If you're studying in a course and God has not directed you to it and nothing is happening, perhaps God is not building the house. Or maybe you're getting into a relationship and you've never prayed, Lord, is this your will? Well, then it's not going to be blessed. We'll say amen.
Amen.
Have God in the midst. I'm involved and have been for years in church planting in Ireland and in Europe. And sometimes I see people planting churches, people who should know better. They don't pray into it. And two or three years later, the church fails and they're angry with God. And it's not God's fault. They never asked, is God in it? Unless the Lord builds your house, you're wasting your time. Bring God into all your decisions. And when you do, you will know fruit. And when you obey him, you will know blessing. Amen?
Amen?
Back to the main story. What we see here, Peter, who had denied the Lord, we see that Jesus is reaching out to Peter, the fisherman, through fishing. Now, what is your language? And I'm not talking about a literal language. I can think of a lot of guys who came to know Jesus and were encouraged in their faith because they loved soccer, they enjoyed soccer. And when different famous soccer players were in the World Cup and fell on their knees to thank God when they won the match, it spoke to them because they were into soccer and that was their language. I know when I was a teenager, I loved the music of Bob Dylan. And in the late 70s, early 80s, as I was coming to faith, Bob Dylan became a Christian and he brought out brilliant songs all about being saved and loving God. That spoke to me. That was my language. Peter was a fisherman. That's how Jesus reached out to him. Wherever you're at in your life, whatever your interests or your passions are, allow God to speak to you through that. Because that's how he speaks. And that's how he began to reach out to Peter. And the breakthrough brings Peter back to Jesus. Many of you will know the story there, how on the beach, Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? How many times did he ask him?
Three.
Well done, Timmy. Three. How many times did Peter deny the Lord?
Three.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Past, present, and future. Morning, noon, and night. We can see three all through the Bible. He said, and use the Greek words, he said, Peter, do you filio me, which is brotherly love in the Greek? Peter said, I do, feed my lambs. Peter, do you filio me, second time, feed my lambs. And then he said, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me with the love that is the deepest love? It even goes beyond emotion. Do you love me with that kind of love, Peter? And Peter was embarrassed and a bit upset. And he said, you know I do, Lord. And Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. So the restoration of Peter happens after they catch all that fish. What's going on, brothers and sisters? Back to our theme. Jesus is mending the net with Peter. He is repairing the knot that had torn. When you or I drift away from Jesus, it's like the fishing net is tearing. And there's a gap in the fishing net. So if you cast that out, there's no fish going to get caught. They'll get through that. So our lives aren't successful. Our plans don't succeed. We fail. And everything we do, all our energy and time, it's in vain. It's wasted. It's useless. Let Jesus repair the broken knot in your life. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
And if you've never known Jesus in that way, he wants to come into your life and start that now. Hallelujah. He starts repairing the broken knot. And it's tedious, but it's vital. If you ever see, I see fishermen sometimes near where I live, and I can see them even today. They've got these special needles, and they repair the fishing nets. You can see them. And it's very tedious. But if it's not done, they're wasting their time. All of our faith is about relationships. Love God and love one another. Jesus said, that's the whole of the scripture. Love God and love one another. It's all about relationship. What about the rest of the guys? Well, we know they followed Jesus. The other disciples followed Peter to the shore in the boat with a net full of fish. So they have all these fish that they caught. And what did they see when they get on the boat, on the shore? They saw a fire on the beach with fish and bread on it. I don't have time to go into the meaning, but the fire of the Holy Spirit, the bread of life, and the fish, that's you, me, and them. And so we see the breakfast going on here. And Jesus said to them, bring me some fish that you caught. And Peter went out to the boat and he dragged the net to Jesus. What a macho man, huh? He drags the whole net himself. And he brings them to Jesus. And then we're told, in my opinion, this fascinating detail. We're told the net was full of 153 large fish. Now, maybe the wiring in my brain is weird. I don't know. But when I see a detail like that, it stops me. And I'm going, why did they tell us that? Why didn't they say there were hundreds of fish? About 150 fish. About 160 fish. No, no, no. 153 fish were counted. What's going on there? You see, the thing is, to the people back then, they were blown away when they heard that number. To you and me, it's beyond us. We don't know what it means. Is it a coded message? To us it is, to them it wasn't. It is not a random number. You see, Jesus Christ controls everything. Every hair on your head is counted. And you might go, well, with you, Tom, it's easy to count your hairs. But I've got a lot of hair in the back here. Every hair on your head is counted. Not a sparrow falls, but our Heavenly Father doesn't know about it. Hundreds and thousands of sparrows around. And he knows everyone who falls. And so he tells us the detail that there were 153 fish. All of the disciples were blown away. And all the early Christians would have gotten it straight away. Because in the biblical world, they believed there was a total of 153 different species of fish in the world. That was in the Mediterranean, around the Persian Gulf, the Red Sea and all of that. That's what they knew. That was the world they knew. And so they wouldn't have known the fish in North America or whatever, but that's not the point. To them, 153 was a powerful number. Can I submit to you? It's a powerful number today because we are the fish. Every single species of fish was represented in this 153 fish. Now, a lot of those fish would have been the same. It's the number that blew them away. Why should it impact us? Because Jesus is for everyone. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How many people here have a dog? That's not a trick question. Oh, gosh, no, there's only three people here have a dog. Four? A few here? A lot here? A lot down here. Okay, how many people have a cat? Gosh, there's a lot more. Some people have cats and dogs. They'd love to live in that house. If you're a dog lover, if you're a cat lover, if you're educated, if you're an elderly person, if you were born within a few meters of this building, if you've come from another continent, if you have no hair, if you have loads of hair, it doesn't matter. Every tribe, every tongue, everyone is for Jesus. You'll say hallelujah. I get so uncomfortable, and I say it with respect, with churches where everyone is the same. Boring. What do you think heaven will be like? Do you think everyone in heaven will be Irish? Who said no? Every tribe, every tongue, every age, men and women, young and old, educated and uneducated, dog lovers, cat lovers, it doesn't make a difference. Jesus Christ is for everyone. And you know, that spoke to them. And it was prophetic because Peter, not too long after that, went into the home of Cornelius, a Gentile, broke all the Jewish rules, and the Christian church began to bring in non-Jews. Same thing happened in Antioch. And today, the Christian church all over the world has every single nationality. Hallelujah. Yeah. Even people who were once Muslim in Saudi Arabia are worshipping Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah. And then we're told, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast with me. Come and have breakfast with me. What does that mean? Come and be with me. Do you know what? Having breakfast with Jesus is way better than having breakfast in Tiffany's, isn't it? Isn't it, Ben? I hear a song coming.
And she said, what about breakfast in Tiffany's? She said, I think I remembered a fellow man, this Arical, I think. We both kind of liked it, and I said, well, that's the one thing we got.
Woo! Give it up for Ben! I don't agree with songs like that, tough. Very tough. Having breakfast with Jesus is way better than having breakfast with anyone else. And what is he saying there? He's saying, let me be in your everyday. Most of us have breakfast in the morning, maybe not all, but most of us. And he's saying, I want to be in your everyday. So we're going to pray very simply for two things. We're going to sing a song I've asked the guys to sing, and I love this song. Just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know. And he told me I was not alone. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing this, and then we're going to pray two things. First prayer. If you're distant from Jesus, maybe you've never come to him, or maybe you've drifted away, today's your opportunity to come back and let him be close to you. And then we're also going to pray for the knots in your fishing net that have torn, that God will give you wisdom, courage, and timing to know how to repair that relationship with him. Let's sing the song, and then we'll pray. Hallelujah. That you will know God's favor this week.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to do this. If you're new, you don't have to. If you're new, you can. But we've got a bit of action to that song. Let's just do that before we pray. Here are the actions. He picked me up. Did he pick you up? He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. Because he healed my heart. He changed my name. Forever free. I'm not the same. Are you up for doing some actions? Yay! Yeah, come up here and do it. Yes, come up here and do it. Dancing in the house of God. These guys are dancing in the house of God. What does the Bible say? It says you will praise his name with dancing, with the tambourine. David danced before the Lord with all his might. If we don't dance in the house of God, they're going to dance somewhere else. But we don't want to go there. We want to go with Jesus, who said, "Amen." Hallelujah.
I am free.
2 minutes to do 2 important prayers. Is everyone okay to close their eyes? Let's close our eyes on stage, off stage, down the back, round the sides. If this is new to you, it might seem strange, you might even be a bit uncomfortable, but your heart is racing because you feel the Spirit of God coming upon you. And you know that the one who was and is to come is calling your name. Your name. Individually. Your destiny. Your future. With every eye in the house closed, all I can see are shadows. But just put up your hand if you want to invite Jesus into your life or you want to return to him because you've drifted away. Nobody's watching. Oh my goodness me. There are so many hands. Wow. Jeannie, I'm going to say there's 30 hands. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give these guys a round of applause. I was 19 when I asked Jesus into my life. And my mother and my father said it's a phase. It's been the most wonderful phase. And I'm still in the middle of it. Hallelujah. Never regretted it. Hallelujah. And once or twice my heart got lukewarm, but Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, left the 99 and he went after the one sheep that was going astray. So we're going to pray together. It's particularly for those 25 or 30 who put up your hands, but I want us all to pray it because we've all been there. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I hear you.
I hear you.
Calling my name.
Calling my name.
I respond now.
Forgive me.
Like you forgave Peter.
Mend my net.
I want to hear your voice.
Know your peace.
Experience your confidence.
I turn
from my old ways. And I follow you now.
No turning back.
Jesus, be my Savior.
Be my Lord.
And be my friend.
Be my friend.
Amen.
Amen.
We give these guys a round of applause. Hallelujah. One last prayer. We don't have time to call people up, but if it's going by the 10 o'clock service, there were hundreds of people with loose knots in their nets. If there's a relationship in your life, and it could be family, friend, it could be your partner, your husband, your wife. We're just going to invite Jesus to come with his nail-pierced hands, touch that knot in the net that's gone loose, and we're going to pray he would repair, restore, and renew that relationship. So if this is for someone you love, someone who's drifted away for you, or maybe you drifted away from them, and you know God wants your hearts together again. Just where you stand, lift a hand. I'm not going to call you up. And in the palm of your hand, put that person. See loads of hands up. Just put that person in the palm of your hand. We pray now, God, for the person, and we're whispering their name to you. And we ask, Lord, just like you did with Peter, would you touch that knot in our fishing net? Would you restore the knot? Would you renew the knot? We pray you would tie it again and the tear in our lives would be restored to fullness. We hand that person over to you now, Lord. And we pray, and I pray into each one who is praying, give them the wisdom, the timing, the words, and the silences to know what to say and when to say it. And I pray even now, God, you would release initiators.
Hallelujah.
Who will be the like the prodigal father going out to meet the prodigal son coming home. Oh God, send us out to greet the ones who come back with questionable motives. But in the embrace, let something from heaven kiss earth. And let that happen in our lives. And in the lives of our relationships, in Jesus' name, God's people say.
Yeah.